We're going to sit over here. You want to go and have a seat, Ruby? Joyce Clarity from right over here in White Springs. She makes she presents at Elder Hostel meetings about rural food traditions of different kinds. She knows a lot about gathering things like sassafras for sassafras tea. She's also has patents that she for her own recipes for making sassafras jelly and also collard green jelly. She's going to tell you how you find things like sassafras in the woods and maybe deer tongue and things like that, and how you go about doing that and how you prepare some of these things. And if you'd like to have a seat. Are we on? Okay. All right. We're on now. Okay. So I'd like to start. Actually, I've given each of an introduction myself to each of these wonderful ladies, but I'd like them also just to tell you in their own words a little bit about themselves, and then I may have some questions for them.
My name is Ruby C. Williams. I am, first, I'm a minister of the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm a Baptist. I was born in Beesville, Florida. They call it Plant City, some years ago. My father and mother, my mother named Valerie Green. My father's name was Lawrence Curry. And I came along as a young child wanting to paint. So when I got a certain age, I took up the idea to do music. And I never did get to paint. But anyway, that's probably history. Anyway, as I grew older in my life, I attended many classes, whatnot, in my background and history story. But we always had a farm. The most thing that I like about my family, they always grew produce. And we many times we'd go down to the field, sit down and get some lettuce and strawberries, and that would be our lunch. The day they go to school, they got some type of smack lunch, potato chips and some kind of salty stuff, but we had lettuce and tomatoes, strawberries, and we would take the lettuce from the field. I don't know how clean it was, and we would take the inner part out and make us a lunch, and that's what we'd have. Then we'd go by an orange tree and get an orange from the orange tree and eat the orange for the orange juice. Statistics say that they had a recipe for like lemons. We would use lemons, sour orange, a grapefruit, and an orange, and a tangerine. And we used to take that and make a juice. So the stores think they got something. They say five things. We did that long years ago. Another thing we did, we recycled our waters because we was on a farm. So we would take the water that we had washed with or other things and use it for different things on the farm. So they still were behind the farmer. I want to say today to our instructor that farming is a great part of life, and that I am glad to be here today on this program to say what I'm saying, because basically it is still in my agenda today to still be a farmer no matter how old I get. I love it.
And I have to say, when you go out, if you ever get a chance to go out and visit Ruby on Highway 60 near Bealsville, just off the highway, she has her produce stand, and just right behind there is her enormous garden, and she picks fresh some of those things right out of her garden to give to you, and there's a great feeling of peace, you know, just being close to all of those vegetables and things that she... that she grows in her garden, and they're all beautiful, and they just grow to enormous size. She's doing an incredible job out there just with the love of being a farmer.
Thank you. Not only that, then we grow acres and acres of farm, but I just had my own spot farm right behind my stand, because this way I can go and gather stuff if someone comes in and asks for something and wouldn't have to go to the big field. Not only that, I like my own produce, because if somebody came by and said they'd like to have some vegetables and they didn't have the money, then I'd go out there and get it and give it to them. So not only do I farm for commercial, I also farm for those that need. We give a portion of all our goods to some needed family. which I, out of a month time, I have about 15 needed people that I have to get up in the morning at 7 o'clock and go through the area and distribute this to the widows and the ones that's been not able to come out for stroke victim, whatever the person is contact, you know, with his illness. Then I go. Well, sometime I go out and they don't even know who left the produce because of run of time. They said, somebody left something by the house, been doing that for a long time. Finally, one day they catch me. But this is the way I didn't want them to give me anything. I didn't want them to know who I was, kind of like the little surprise for them. And because I had it to give, many times people would not do that. But thank God for my grandmother, Rosa Glover. She always gave, always taught me to love. And no matter how you hate me, my pastor, Fred of the God, New Jersey, say, I'd rather die than to hate. And also, we have one of those paintings on our agenda from Dr. Kristen Corner. I think she had it in her, in the website, which we have a website. And it say, it calls to hate. It calls to hate. If you hate, it's going to cost you something. So thank God for learning how to divide up what we have without hate. I have no, I might don't look right some days, but I'll be tired. But if you leave me alone, you, I'll be all right.
So, Ruby, could you say a little bit about how the paintings fit into your life and about how you use them outside your stand and things like that? And you have a couple of them up here, if you could talk
yeah,
about
we have a couple of paintings here. But Janine, would you show them? We have a couple of paintings to show you that I used to pick strawberries, and I did this special for this event. It is me sitting in the field picking strawberries around, and many times we would eat the strawberries as we picked them. So this is made special for the folklore event for the day. And I also have one as a watermelon boy, the watermelon on top. Now these the paintings that I have are for sale, because we do charity with some of the money. And I got started with the painting because I wanted to paint, but I never did. And in 1985 or 86, I came back home from New Jersey. And I put up a produce stand. I built it practically with my niece and my grandson. And we have to get a permit, which I did. And then I put the produce stand up, and I started laughing because I said, I can't put the top on it because I can't climb up high. So we was intrigued through the spirit to get my brother, and he put the top on him. And that's history. So we put the produce in there. Then all at once, I say, the cars on the highway would be going so fast. Actually, the highway was our land. So they divided up, came through there, and made the highway. So they wasn't satisfied with one lane. They came back and got two more lanes. Well, I'm gonna take the advantage of this thing. So I put the produce stand on the highway and ran over and put signs on the other side because we own both sides. That was real wise, you know. And in the meantime, in 1991, Lord Salas, down home program on the television, came by, and then he took the signs, took me with the signs and put me on television. And that was the first time I got on TV. That was in June. And, of course, in December the same year, here come Rodney Hardy. He got asked me, could I paint? I didn't know until last weekend, the weekend before, that he exerted me because he say a good artist would curve their letters. And I didn't know that, but I always curve my R. My name is Ruby, so I always curve my R because I think it's sporty, you know, to curve it. But he took that and said that I would be a painter. But I was already an artist. I did art, but they didn't want to hear that. But anyway, out of that came out, tired of me being a good guy. They didn't seem to like that. Timing me wrong. I said, well, you can't tie me wrong. One of the greatest painters. Another one that came up with piano playing cow. We had one over in the booth. It went to Smithsonian. And Smithsonian put it on the banner on the outside of the building, also on the brochures. Before that, we had another one that went across the continent to the United States called Revelation and Reflection. They put that on the banner. And then they would put these art on top of the brochures. Now we have a book. It's called Florida Review. I got last week. Dr. Kristen Carter bought this art and asked me if they could get the you know, the sign. I had to sign for them to put it on the book. So I have a book now with the stuff column on it that we sold maybe 1995 to her, Dr. Connor. And I was so excited to get this book, but I'm on magazine books. I mean, everything I have to hide now because I'm so famous. They're tripping me up. So famous. But that don't excite me. What excites me is that I need to feed people that are hungry, and it terrified me to see people walking the street with backpacks on their back, nowhere to stay. Some want to do that. The others, I don't think, want to. But I realized in New Jersey, there was doctors, telephone linemen, there was firemen, and there was all type of people down up under the bridges. To you men, you might know what I'm saying. And this is what made me really work hard when I came back to Florida. Okay, the lights would get cut off. I mean, they would cut the lights on so they would have light. So in Florida, you have Tico. I forgot what the company was in New Jersey. But anyway, as the gas come, I said, well, who cut the lights on? I said, you crazy? I said, you got linemen down there, you got preachers down there, you got doctors down there, you got everybody down there, so the telephone man and the gas company man know how to cut the lights on. And they never thought about that. These people that was evicted from their home. So one man said, you know what, sir, I've been working. I work 4 weeks out of a month. Two go for the rent, and the other go for the bills. I said, that's kind of bad, ain't it? So then after a while, the man said, I worked 3 weeks to pay the bills, 1 week for rent. And after a while, he looked around, the rent done going up again. So he had to get put outdoors. So I said, you know, my grandfather and my grandmother got land. I said, I'm going to rise like the prodigal son. I'm going back home. And in the 80s, I rise for my ideas, and I went to Florida. I wanted to be out there on that road where nobody bothered me. I just wanted to be there by myself because I really don't care about people being with me too much all the time, you know. But when I got there, I was so disappointed. They just kept coming and asking for things. And now, boy, I don't know what to do because I got about over a half a million photos. I don't like to be camera. I don't like no photos. I don't like to take pictures. I love people. So when they asked me to take pictures, I said, I want my eyes, because my eyes, I want to drive my cars. And if I'm blind, I can't drive. And I don't want nobody driving for me. So this is why I work so hard to promote myself in what I'm doing. And I feel good about it, because when I walk out there and gather the cabbage, I left some cabbage in my field, make coleslaw with them. Now they're in the field now. I had beets. I had lettuce. I had broccoli, and it was so good to see the beet grow, big old beet like that, you know, big old beet about that size. I had a witness to your director, she saw the rutabaga this big, nothing but a little fertilizer on it, with plenty of tender love and care. And boy, they say I'm 100 years old according to my scheduled date bomb, but I'm not that old. I'm not going to tell you how old I am, but I'm not 100 years old. I'm not even 80 years old, but anyway, they try to pick. I said, you got one thing in life, that's your age, and I will never tell it. You find out, I still won't tell you, because that's the only private thing Ruby C. Williams have. Nothing else I have. So I thank y'all for me being here and my coworkers that work with me. I thank them, Janine Taylor, for driving me up.
Thank you, Ruby.
We have a young lady from the University of Central Florida here today, so thank God. Oh, here she is, Sarah.
Yeah. All right.
I'll be in another book. When you see her, I'll be in something else in a few more days. So thank y'all very much. Thank you.
All right. Now, thanks, Ruby. And we'll maybe be asking you some more in a minute. Joyce, I want you to tell us a little bit about what you do and about making sassafras tea and jelly and about those patents you did and also gathering things in the wood like deer tongue and things like that and where you learned those things.
I learned it from my grandmother. My grandmother was a midwife. I am one of the children that she delivered. She delivered over 700 babies. I was one of those babies. She never lost a baby. Her name was Ollie Scipio, a midwife. And I thank God for that today, and I give God the glory. I give him the honor. I acknowledge him before me because I can't do nothing without him. And how you tell the sassafras, you will see both hands, left hand, right hand, and praying hand. Now, I'm quite sure we know what them praying hands were. It's little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power. Much prayer, much power. So we need them hands, sisters and brothers. We need our hands. Also, the catnip, grandmama used it for children having measles, fever. That's what she used. So that's what I end up using on the mother of 7 children, 27 grands. And matter of fact, yesterday, one of my daughters was sick. And I used the blackberry. They call it byberry back there. That's all I know was the byberry. And you take the root of the byberry, and you pull that. Well, you pull the byberry, get the root. You chew the root for diarrhea. Oh, yes, it will stop it. I tried that. So I gave her some yesterday. Oh, Mama, you must be loving me. I said, yeah, I love you. Go out there in the bushes and pull it. So she did that yesterday, and it stopped her stomach from hurting. That's the byberry, okay? Also, the dog fennel. The dog fennel, I was told to use it for hemorrhoids, which I did because I was having some problems. That worked. Also, my grandmother told me about the stangonella. Okay, men's and women's, when you use Viagra, all you got to do is go get the stangonella. That's good for the Viagra. Pull the root. And also in reading, I learned that the top of them, when it come up to a seed, that's fruit in it. Well, I'm going to see how it's fruit. I took it, and I tore it apart. I wanted to see what was in it. Oh, little white seed. So, hey, that's your Viagra. Also, the collard green. The collard green is just more than just for eating. It's high in vitamin C, and vitamin A and C. I had the flu, and it looked like I couldn't get rid of it. And they said, oh, go to the doctor. Oh, no, I went to Dr. Jesus. I took that collard green, and I began to eat it because they said, if you place it on you, it'll pull the fever out. Well, I say, well, putting it on me, what if I eat it? So I told my granddaughter, I said, go get, babe, we was getting ready for a family reunion. I took the collard greens, and I was cutting them up. I said, go wash this for grandmama. She took it, and we were scheduled that on the first Sunday night for a special service. 100 people come to that service. It was pocket handkerchief. So, hey, I took that collard green, and I ate it. That was my testimony. I couldn't hardly talk. The fever was burning me up. Plummer Christian, you place that on a baby, the leaf. Wrap them in it, it pulls the fever out. That's good. That's our medicine. And we need not destroy the environment, America, because this is where our healing comes from. The herbs is out here. All we got to do is study to know those herbs. And also, I have the mullein. The mullein is good for fever. Also, my aunt what raised me, she used it for arthritis. She took mullein, green alcohol, and moss balls, mixed them, and she applied it to her leg. Well, that was healing. Okay, banana. I did that on my own. I was doing sewing, and I got burnt by a light bulb up in here. And that was a third-degree burn. Well, I took that nano peeling, I rubbed it on it, it healed it. Well, there's your healing in the plants.
Let me ask you something. I got a pretty nasty bit of poison ivy right here. What would you do for that?
Okay, you get you some milk, and you apply that milk to it to dry it up.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Milk.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, what about deer tongue? Did you?
Deer tongue, I was told back in 1972 that deer tongue cure sugar diabetes. Well, hey, I like trying it. So I don't have sugar diabetes, but I sure chewed it to see what it tastes like. I'm not dead. So anyway, in his head, when it started putting out, it has like a lavender color flower, which was over here by the kitchen. Last year, I don't guess they know what it were, and it got destroyed. Which over there, I do have a deer tongue plant. Last year, I went in the woods and I gathered deer tongue. Deer tongue was selling for $5 a pound, which I had 27 pounds, came to $130-some.
Who do you sell that to?
It was some elder man from Jasper, Georgia.
What did he do with it?
Well, he sold it to the market. And also, hunters, if you like to hunt, you take that deer tongue, dry it, and put it in your clothes or wash it in your clothes. That scent get in the deer tongue. When you dry the deer tongue, it glitter like glass. It's beautiful. It got a strong odor. Also, I was told the deer tongue keep rats out your house and roaches. Can't stand it.
Huh, that's very interesting. Well, one more thing I want to ask if both of you. I know I've talked to both of you at different times, and you explained to me about planting by signs. And I think maybe both of you do this in your gardens and stuff. Can you explain that?
There are signs that most people don't understand. Certain signs that you have to plant your produce on. And there's also, they go by the moon. Dark nights and moon nights, whatnot. And we plant on certain signs, twin signs, the sign in the head, the neck, or the arm. My sign was between the neck and the arm. They always produce more. And there's also a sign about the bow. You can't plant in the bow. Some people try it, but all it does is make vines. So it's very necessary that you know what you're planting on. Some people just go plant. Well, you can plant anything. You can, but I don't know what time it's going to make. And so my son, he always go and get the almanac every year, get one for himself and one for me. And we do go by the signs. I believe that is according to the sign of how your body functions. Some days your sign can be in the head. Your sign does go to the head, to the neck, to the arms, body, right on down through. I don't know if you really understand this, because the doctor probably would put me in jail if I say that from him. But it does eliminate from the body of the sign. Sometimes your feet hurt. If you get the almanac and look, so all you see the sign would be low. We never plant nothing below the ground after you get below the knees. So that means we plant stuff for on top of the ground, like your peas. She had the black-eyed peas then, or the corn peas. We have to plant them because you want them to grow. So then the potatoes, like sweet potatoes, we have to plant them too, the size above. Because if you plant in the size of feet, it's going to go way down in the ground. I've had that experience that she was saying a while ago. These things we have experienced over the years that I have farmed. We do it sometime to have the fun, but that is very important that you use a sign.
Okay, also I was told that if you had the toothache and you was going to get it pulled, don't pull it when the sign is in the head, because that, oh, you will have much trouble. And if and when it's going down, if you have having surgery, you always get it. Depending on what part of the ailment in, you go by the sign. Okay, you fish by the sign. When the two fish, that's twin days. You fish by that. And I'll say to all the doctors in the building, you know, they're going and making it in pills, but if you just get it in the herbs, because it'll be a lot of people not going to go out there and hunt it. They ain't going to look for it. And the healing is in the herbs. So these doctors and nurses, I recommend you, get your herbs and let the patients have it. Because a lot of people's not going to go out there and get it. And you'll see America being healed. Because I remember reading in the God Word, he said, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, he said, I heal the land. So the healing is here, America. The healing is right around us. We just got to know what to go get. Also, the pine top. I had the toothache. Well, behind my house where I got sapness, I went and got and put it in my tooth, which it stopped it. Also, I let my brother pull a tooth. So that's how we're healing, sisters and brothers.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much to Ruby Williams and Joyce Clarity. And I invite you to visit them over here in the tent. Next, we'll be having the Exums. We're running a little